So we're going to be looking at part two in this session. Part two is the wedding, or at least some of the things. We're not going to be talking about the centerpieces or the...
I was just thinking about that.
Or the flowers and things like that. We're going to look at four things: the vows, the ceremony, the rehearsal, and the reception. So let's start with the vows. I have here probably the most traditional vows, at least here in North America. And it's, you know, Steve Elzinga, take thee, Marie Vanderwerf, to be my wedded wife, to have, to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge myself to you. Maybe you've heard vows that are sort of like this, at least in television, you know, and in movies and so on, they'll have these vows. They're sort of the basic vows, maybe a few different versions of that. But I want to encourage you guys, and you can do whatever you want at your wedding. That's the thing. As a coach, you can be coaching a couple, and it's their wedding. It's not like a church service where I'm the pastor and I have all these things that I want to do. I'm just the coach, and I'm trying to help you plan the best wedding that you can have. And also, you know, in this whole process of pre-marriage coaching, I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm not telling you how to do your marriage. You notice most of the things were questions.
Right.
Things for you to think about, things for you to interact with, and for you to ultimately decide what you want, not what I want or not what I think you should have for your marriage. Now, obviously, in framing some of the questions, it helps lead down a certain trail.
Right.
But again, you're free to say whatever you want. So this is what I'm suggesting, and let me give you some reasons why writing your own vows, I think, is the preferred way to go, at least from my point of view. First of all, it helps the couple figure out what they really want to promise each other. I mean, if you could just take these vows here, and it's like, okay, that sounds good, let's do it. But then you've done no work in terms of what you really want to promise. Is this really it? Or you haven't really done any hard thinking about it. Helps the couple understand what marriage is all about. So in the process of trying to figure out vows, you have to go, well, what is this? What are we actually doing here?
Right.
It's more memorable.
Right.
It's more likely that it will hold you accountable to something. And, you know, I think I told you my story of the first people I married. I married them. We used a vow like that. And then 3 years later, they want a divorce. Then I ask them, well, what about your vows? Oh, those were just in a book. And, you know, they didn't really own them because I gave them the vows. They were already prepackaged. But when you write your own, it's like, okay, you want to go against what you said? This is what you wanted to
do. You're backing on your own word,
You're backing out of your own word. Now, what stops people from doing it are a few fears. Number one, not good with words, you know. Because usually when you hear vows, they're somewhat polished. They're not just two people. I mean, you can make them up as you went. Okay, now it's vow time. What do you want to promise? To love you, you know, and it's like, I don't know. So most people are like a little intimidated because someone, you know, I promise to bring the very best out of you with all the gifts that God has given you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's always this, you know, it's well done. So now you're wondering, can we do that? Won't be as good as off-the-shelf vows. And number four, too busy with all the other plans that you know what that's all about, right? This one thing after another. It's just mind-boggling how busy it all is for one little event, right? So, okay, go to the next page. I want to show you just how easy it is. It really, you know, I've done this with a lot of couples, and you know, some of you out there may be wondering, is this possible to do with someone? I have worked with couples that, you know, are not very educated, don't have writing background or speaking skills or anything, and I don't care who everyone has succeeded. everyone has hit the ball out of the park, mm-hmm. and they end up with vows that are really, really great. But, okay, so how would you do that? Step one, have the bride and groom separately brainstorm on paper any thoughts about what they want to promise, what marriage means, how they love the other person, how they will support and help the other person, anything related to marriage at all. And this is like the key. Because what people do when they sit down to write vows is they think they're writing the finished product. So now it's a problem. How do I want to start this? Okay, I promise. And then everything you come up with is like inferior, it's right. not right, it's not great. And the process of trying to make it the right thing gets in the way of what you want to say. Mm-hmm. So if you just start with a blank piece of paper and do it separately, because you want to think, you know, your thoughts, you're thinking your thoughts, and you just go, well, I want something about cherish. I've always liked that word. I know it's old-fashioned, but that's a word I like. You just write one word, cherish.
Right.
You don't have to have a whole sentence with it. I want something about supporting, you know, bringing out the best. It's like little phrases that you're thinking about. What do I
right.
really
I want
to... And you just write that phrase, or you just write a word, or you write a thought. And this isn't the vow, because it's too wordy and it has too much stuff in it, but you're just trying to figure out the essence of it. Or what does marriage mean to you? You know, if you had to write three words, what would those three words be? So you're just mm-hmm. writing anything and everything, or
right.
something that you heard someone else say, or anything.
Right.
And mm-hmm. you just fill the page with just random thoughts about this.
Mm-hmm.
And you both do that without any thought as to making it a vow. That's
mm-hmm.
the key. Don't start trying to write the vow, or
yeah.
you'll get hung up with the perfection thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will keep you from brainstorming, you know, all the ideas you really have. Because it's in the brainstorming you're going to come up with a word or a line that's, oh, I like this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll do that separately, then have bride and groom share what they wrote separately with each other, so now you look at it,
mm-hmm.
and now you can kind of compare, oh, you know, I had the same thing, or I said it this way, or, hey, we both had this, or that was interesting, and now you can, you sort of have more to work with, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, we for sure want to keep these things, because we have them, and by the way, they don't have to be the exact same thing. You can have it the same thing, where I say these things and then you say
right.
these things, but they don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can have something and you could have something. So then step three is start making phrases out of what you like. Now, again, you don't have to worry about what you start with or what's next or how you're going to end. You just want to get some phrases that you kind of like. And then finally, it's like, okay, so now how do we want to start it?
Right.
Where do we put
right.
what? And it's a whole lot easier to sort of rearrange stuff than to try to figure it out right from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like?
Yes. So
okay.
Let me ask,
yeah.
should our vows kind of end up being the same?
No, I was just saying, they don't have to. They can. You,
okay.
They can be the
I
same.
I thought I started feeling like if we were doing it all together.
Well, you're kind of helping each other. And,
but they
and
don't have to be at all the same.
No, because,
gotcha.
But you know, I suppose you could just write them totally separate from each other. But you want to see what, you know, I'm promising this to you. Does this make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to
right,
say?
Right, it makes sense.
And
well,
to
then,
help each other a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, because what if, like, I write a really long vow and it's like,
yeah.
sure.
Or, well, like, you know, you have all kinds of spiritual things and he forgot entirely. And then, you know, it's not going to look good. So it's you're kind of helping.
To communicate about it.
You're helping each other.
The vows can be different. For
and then even as a discussion, you know, what do you think is different? What do you think would be good that we're saying something different. You know, you
mm-hmm.
can kind of help each other with that, too.
Right.
So
compliment each other.
I've seen it go both ways, where you have the exact same vow, and where the one is, you know, the guy has, you know, and I've had it where people didn't even share it with each other, and they just did it separately.
Oh, wow.
But I think coming together a little bit and, you know, getting on the same page,
yeah.
and just, it's just helpful to do it together because it's easy to forget something and go, oh, yeah, I wasn't even thinking that. So, and then just make your vows great. So is that something you think you could do?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to give, I'm giving you that as an assignment. Let's go then to
the
stem.
It's an assignment. We're going to work on it.
Yes. So, and you can, you know, what's nice too is you work separately on it and write some things down. And then if you wanted to, you could check with your sister or your mother or your father or your brother or whatever. What do you think of this? Or what, do you have any thoughts? You can, you know, you can start looking at other, you can look up traditional vows. I mean, this isn't like, you know, you're cheating in any way.
Right.
You can right, right. It's a, but I think before you do all that, you should sit with your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that you're really, and wrestle with it, because this really is what this whole thing is. Mm-hmm. I know you're busy with all the other stuff, but the reality is
the vows is what this is about. We need to make time for them.
Yes. And that's what people don't do, because they have all the, it's the pressure of the urgent,
cake,
right?
Yeah,
we got to decide on this cake, or we're not going to have a cake, right? So it's urgent, but it's not the most important thing,
right?
Because the cake will, you know,
be
it's
eaten
not
up
the cake.
And gone.
Yes.
These vows will be for our lifetime together.
Yes. So it's and so wrestling with it a little bit, and you know, like you wrestle with the cake and all these things, mm-hmm. is worthwhile. All right, ceremony. So what I'll do is I'll just give you sort of the basic outline of most ceremonies, and you know, things can be moved around and added and what have you, but just to give you a sense of the logic, now you're a logic guy, and you can supply the emotion to it. but there is sort of a logical order to things. So here's just the basic order to work off from. So number one, before the ceremony happens, you've got all the ushering of people, bringing people in, and grandparents, and parents sometimes light candles, and sometimes there's different roles for different, you know, a lot of times they'll have the groom usher in different people and the parents separately, and all these little things that you can do before the ceremony. And there's, you know, 100 different things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what you do with that, right? So the ceremony really begins, at least from the guy, the officiant point of view, is when, you know, you come in and, you know, coming down the aisle, whether people come down the aisle together or the men come in separately, those are all just whatever. You know, mm-hmm. people can make their own decisions about that. But it's when you're finally, you know, I assume your father is going to take you down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're coming down the aisle, you're standing, or is he, or how's he going to do it? Is he doing the ceremony too?
So, well, I think that, so Mishra's dad was like ordained in the past. I think he's doing the who gives this woman to this man.
Oh, okay.
And then my dad's going to switch out with him once he gives me away.
Oh,
and he's going to do the
rest
of the service.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's good. So, yeah, there's, you know, all those different options. So he'll be asking that, who gives this woman to this man? And then you step forward, and it's almost like a handoff, you know. And that's kind of a big deal, because, you know, it's been, this is my daughter, and I've been taking care of her, and now I'm going to give her to you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big, big thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that happens, and now you come forward. The next part is sort of just, you know, well, why are we here? Welcome, you know, this is the wedding. You know, the officiant is just talking in general about why we're here and what's the purpose, what's marriage all about. And somehow that has to lead to some kind of a commitment, you know, that, you know, we're here to make a commitment.
Right.
So then that naturally leads into to the vows. So now you exchange vows. Now the next thing is like, okay, vows are made and rings are just a symbolic expression of the vows you just made.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing is rings, because that's just the symbolic expression mm-hmm. of the vows. Okay, we've done the vows, we've done the rings. What else is there to do? So we pronounce you husband and wife. Okay, now that you're officially husband and wife, now what do? Well, we can symbolically express that, and people will often do that, like with the candle. You know, there's two different candles, and we light the middle one. And that's an expression of what we just did.
Mm-hmm.
So the vows are the promise, and the rings sort of illustrate what we just did. The pronouncement of marriage is the thing, and then the candle, or some people mix sand, or there's, you know, there's many different mm-hmm. ways of symbolically expressing that. Or sometimes people will have a song, or sometimes they'll have the candle and the song. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is to say what we just did.
Right.
Okay, so now you're married. It's been expressed with a song, or, you know, the lighting of a candle. And now you come back to your original spot. And now, what else is there to do? Well, it's, okay, I'm the officiant, and now it's my time to share a verse or something from the scripture to encourage this new couple. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, you know, when I'm doing it, I always ask the couple to pick one, you know, what's your marriage
right,
verse?
And we have a verse all picked, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So then now the officiant, you know, talks about that, you know, personally to you, to sort of apply it to the thing you just did. You're now married. Okay, so then when he's done with that, it's nice then to have a prayer. Okay, this is like your first prayer together, and there's many different ways of doing that. The officiant can do it. He can. It can be a participatory kind of thing. You know, a lot of different ways. It can end with the Lord's Prayer with everyone in the crowd participating. It can end with the song. That's like a prayer. You know, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. And then finally, okay, we've pretty much taken care of all the things now after the prayer. You know, introducing the couple for the very first time, the newly married couple, and off you go. Yep. So that's these are the pieces that are sort of necessary. And then if you look over here, there's other optional elements. There's songs that can be thrown in here, there, and everywhere. There's readings, Bible readings, poetry, a little testimony. I mean, there's really, you can add mm-hmm. all parent involvement in Ecuador. When my son got married, the parents, you know, so my wife and I had to stand over our my son's bride, and we had to pray over her. We had to have a little prayer together over when we stood behind her, mm-hmm. and then their family did the same thing with our son. So that was just a little thing that they, you know, they want to do the parent involvement thing.
Right.
You could have a video, you could have testimony. I mean, you can really, you know, people tend to do like the same old stuff all the time. But really, it's your
wedding.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, sometimes they'll, you know, people will do the picture montage thing, you know, to a song. You know, how, you know, your life growing up, then your life growing up, and then your life together growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if the setting is okay, you could have like the 3-minute version of that where you're telling a story of how you met or whatever. It can be really, you can do anything in your wedding mm-hmm. ceremony. It's like, how do we make this thing, you know, something we will remember? And, mm-hmm. and you know, so that's really the goal. So you'll have to, you know, work through that. Maybe you've done some of that already. So number 3, the rehearsal. I assume you're going to have a rehearsal. You have people involved in your wedding,
mm-hmm.
people standing
yep.
up.
And yep.
So, you know, the reality is if you didn't have all those people in it, and I sit down and tell you about this and you plan out your vows and we have the order, even if you didn't remember the order and had no idea, we could do this tomorrow without a rehearsal. It's like so easy because everything just flows logically from one thing to the next. And the couple really doesn't have to know anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just go like this. That means you got to go light the candle. I go like this. You come back. You stand here. You know, hold hands and now give your vows. I mean, I'm telling you what to do every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's have a prayer. I would like to share a word of scripture with you. I mean,
right.
Will you turn around and let me introduce? I mean, it's so simple.
Yeah.
There's nothing
yeah.
to do. Okay.
Yeah.
But you have people involved, and most people feel really uncomfortable up in front.
Right.
They're not used to that.
Yeah.
They're not used to being on the stage. So everyone involved, or a lot of the people involved, are uptight.
Mm-hmm.
Even though their role is small, and they're not speaking, they're not, you know, but people feel really uptight,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to look embarrassed, and so you have to have a rehearsal to relieve. So the goal of the rehearsal really is to relieve all the tension
right.
and all the anxiety Which is, you know, you've been working really hard towards this. I mean, even for the two of you, you're working hard towards this. There's all these pieces. And by the time the wedding ceremony comes along, you'll be wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes away from the joy of the whole thing, right? Because you're
That's
so stressed over everything going right.
Yeah.
So think of the rehearsal as the time, look, you've already done all the hard work.
Right.
Everything is already in order. And the rehearsal part about getting people to stand in the right plate, you know, this it's all going to be fine. It's going to be so. In other words, come in with a relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to enjoy this. We're going to have fun. Now, in order to enjoy the rehearsal, number one, pre-plan everything. Mm-hmm. The order: who does what, who stands where, who says who's going to say what, who's going to sing.
Yeah.
Everything should be planned to the minute detail.
Mm-hmm.
Written out, because, and I've seen this over and over again, if you don't plan all those things,
someone else will.
Then someone else is going to step in. And it's usually not just one person, and that's usually the problem. So it'll be mm-hmm. your aunt and your best friend, the people who like to put things in order and don't feel bad about stepping in and doing it, they will step in. If there's a crack of a question, or uncertainty about, you know, well, you know, I'm not sure the guy should stand. Boom. You're inviting these people who want to bring order to chaos into the front, and then they have a disagreement, and then now you're arguing about it, and now it's like, you know,
cause no.
When really it doesn't matter. They can stand there, and it's neither here nor there. So the more you have it, they know. You're in charge, and they know that you have it all figured out, and it's not up for grabs. Then everything goes smooth, and those people are happy, and everyone's happy. So that would be my only advice, that you make sure, like, you go to the venue, you figure it out, you know where everyone's standing, you know when they're coming in and what they're doing, and then it goes fun. So relieve the pressure. That part of that, having a good order, is relieving the pressure. No one's arguing about stuff. No one's fighting over anything. It's just, let's just do this. Go through it a couple of times. Everyone feel comfortable. And it usually goes fine. And then have fun. You know, this is, you know, the hard work is done.
Mm-hmm. You've
done all the hard work. This is step one towards enjoying your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then the reception. The reception, what's the purpose of this? Is to make the occasion of the wedding memorable for the couple and all who witnessed it for accountability in the marriage. So you're invited family and friends, and mm-hmm. they're, you know, it's fun to have people that you know, but it's also good, you know, they now see you in a different light. Okay, you two are now married, and, you know, that's how we need to think of you, and they help you stay that way,
mm-hmm.
right? So to make it a good event for everybody, oh, yeah, I remember Abby and Mitch's wedding, you know, it's good because these are your support people. It's good for you, as a couple, looking back. Okay, that was a great thing. This is when our life together started. It was so meaningful, et cetera. So, and then to reinforce family and friend connections. The event itself helps you connect with your family and your friends, you know, it's doing things together, having fun together, laughing together, all those things. By the way, and I know you met with a photographer and so on. One of the pictures that I wish we had from our wedding was like every table.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could see who was there. I don't remember who was there and who wasn't anymore.
Right, because there wasn't like specific, like every table should be full.
No, it was like, and then too, it's fun then to look back and go, oh, look how young you all look. You know, like it's just, that was an era, and it sort of,
time period.
You sort of captured,
you
captured all those people at that time, and that becomes really interesting. Rather than just seeing a bunch of pictures of yourself. Okay, we've been married for 30 years, and there's a bunch of pictures of ourselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sometimes fun to see, oh, look at, you know, I haven't seen that. You know, I wonder what happened to them. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right, so how do you accomplish a good reception? Well, the basics are food. You know, I know you looked into that. Fun. You know, what fun are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, what I see in weddings these days is we've given up the reception to the DJs. I don't know if you're having a DJ or whatever.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. But what happens is a lot of times the DJ takes charge of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And he has all the things that he thinks will be fun, and he takes charge. And he goes, we're going to this, and we're going to that, and we're going to this, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And you're at the mercy of whatever he does. And they tend to just do the same old things. And a lot of times they don't have the Christian point of view. You know, how are we going to celebrate Christ in the middle of all this? So I think given some thought to, okay, what fun could we do? What could we have the tables do? What could we have people do? What would be fun? And then, you know, fellowship, what mixes people up? And then finally, faith. You know, what aspects of faith are going to be there? Like everyone has to give you a verse or give you their favorite verse or a verse that helped in their marriage or, you know, something, a little book that they write in. I don't know. I don't. There's. If you Google, I think there was one site that I saw that I thought was pretty cool. I don't know if I have it here. But it was 49 ways to, you know, spice up your reception. But it was from a Christian perspective. So it looked at even some of the ways that most married receptions go. And they said, well, you could do it this way. Mm-hmm. And then it puts more emphasis on faith. So I think that's it. So ideas for the reception. So these are all homework things for you.
Yep.
And finally, you know, a reception timeline. You know, mm-hmm. what's going to happen first? What are we going to do? We're going to eat. We're going to cut the cake. Yep. We're going to all these things. But I would suggest that you sit down and figure out some of these things before you kind of sit with the DJ.
Yeah.
Don't let him take
give ideas
your,
and decide.
Well, yeah, don't have him take over that whole thing, because this is your reception, it's not his reception, and you have certain goals and things you want to accomplish. And then then you meet with them, and it's like, okay, you're the servant of us.
Right.
We're hiring you to help us, not the other way around. Yeah. So I think that would be great. All right, so that's what we have. So a lot of this is stuff that you have to give the couple, and they have to do some of the work. Now, you know, if we had time, sometimes I've done the vow thing right with the couple there. I just say, here's a piece of paper.
Right.
Off we go. And, you know, they take 15 minutes and then they sit down. And sometimes it's necessary because couples still are a little hesitant to finally write them. They feel insecure about that. Yeah, and they just do it, right? They just don't get around to it because of all the other things. So I'm trusting you two a lot.
Yeah, we will do it.
Yeah, you will do it. But we will come back and talk about some of these things. So I guess you have to do it.
Yeah.
We have to do it, guys.
All right, thanks for being with us.